This is a podcast from Minute Media.
It's about to go down. This is the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast, where we talk history of the game, numbers and stats. And each week we highlight a charity that's doing good. If you haven't subscribed yet, then you should, because I'm the real deal. And you know I gotta shout out the Buffalo Bills. Turn it up to the max, sit back and relax. This the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast. Let go.
Hey, what is up, Bills Mafia? Welcome into another episode of the Buffalo Nerd, your home for Buffalo Bills football with a charity on top. Brought to you by Minute Media and FanSided. If this is your first time listening, welcome aboard. Thanks for being here. If you're already part of the Nerd Pop, the Nerd Mafia, welcome home. Going to be a fun one. This past couple weeks, we've kind of been focusing on in-house our guys that are leaving the team or potentially leaving the team. Some of those have come to fruition this week already. We've seen some different things happen. There's a lot of rumors swirling around. It's Thursday. It's about 7:30 on the Pacific Coast when I'm kicking this off. So some of the guys that I'm going to talk about today, some things have already happened. We'll hit on it quick and things like that. But the free agency things, NFL is crazy right now. I mean, big time trades, people moving all over the place. But I think you'll find, as I chat a little bit in my view of how this team functions, that we're right where we're supposed to be. But we'll get into that. Because like we do every week on the show, we do like to highlight a charity. Obviously, some organization that's doing something good out there, making an impact on the world. We definitely need those types of things. Especially when, we've got crazies just in charge of people and places and things that they shouldn't be in charge of. And it's just, it's a wild world out there. So when we got moments to highlight people that are doing some good things, that's kind of what this is all about. So this week, we're going to highlight the National Marrow Donor Program. It's a NMDP, but you can find them at bethematch.org. So it's more about that, right? It's more about being the match, because what they're kind of all about is, donating bone marrow and donating cord blood and these things of this nature that they can utilize and, potentially be matches to help people that end up getting diagnosed with leukemia, other kind of blood cancers, that type of stuff. So it's a big deal. And I think if you do some research on it and you see some things on it and stuff of that nature, it's a tough process, but it makes big changes and big impacts for other people. So if you head to bethematch.org, there's different ways. There's information on there. There's events going on. There's different ways to support this. You don't necessarily have to be like, yeah, I'm going to donate bone marrow. I'm going to donate, blood, core, any of that kind of stuff. You can, right? It's there and that option's available. And I think it's greatly appreciated. But you can also, donate money, donate time. Just donate, sharing it with other people that you think might actually need it or be into helping it. Cause there's restrictions and things of that nature. So, but this week I just deep down inside, it's nice to know that no matter what's going on, the chaos and complaining about who's being traded where and this, that, and the other, there's essentially a war happening right now. Right. We need to know that there's still things to be grateful for and there's still things that are good out there. And so this is one of those things. All these charities that we highlight each and every week, all the organizations, everybody, there's still positive things out there. So make sure if you can send it to somebody, head over to bethematch.org. All right. And make sure you guys check out the National Marrow Donor Program. So, as we get into the football stuff, I got a long list of guys here that I've kind of been just kind of keeping my eye on because I think the Bills, there's a lot of mafia that are upset right now as the Khalil Mack trades are happening. It's like, why didn't we give up a two and this, like what they're giving up? It's like, well, there's money involved, right? That's why we're not doing a lot of what's taking place right now, but we're strategically playing the situation right. I would say we don't need to necessarily make this splash move, in my opinion. If something out of the blue happens and some guy wants to take a massive pay cut or we move somebody, there's a lot of rumors about Edmonds and stuff. I just, I don't know. Brandon Bean the other day speaking on him, he spoke highly of him, but that could also be just making sure he's speaking highly of him because he's trying to move him. But there's just, I don't think that that's what this team is about right now. We've made decisions so far that I talked about a couple of weeks. I mean, we cut two guys that were just clear cut candidates to be cut. I mean, the money that was being saved for the production on the field was clear and obvious. So they're both gone. You just signed the Kumerow got signed back today. Talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Special teams more than anything. He's now more of the veteran kind of leader in the locker room as far as wide receivers behind Diggs. I mean, he's been around the league for a while, so he fits that role as well. And very cheap, right? So my approach to some of these free agents that I'm going to hit on today is how much do they cost me? Can they potentially be better than the person I'm not going to sign in their place? And are they younger than the person that I'm going to sign in their place? Because if I'm going to even get the same production and I've got years to kind of develop that, or I've got that for more years of longevity, potentially, that I want to go that route first. So do I think any of these massive trades are going to happen with us? No. Do we have the draft capital to make something happen on draft day? Yes, because there's not going to be a lot of rookies that are going to make this team, but it's not going to change what we do in free agency as far as the money situation. I anticipate, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, we'll start seeing the restructuring coming soon. Right now, this is clearly the, okay, we want him. We want him. He's got to go. But Klein, I do think that there's a potential that if we don't find something else or work out something else that we're looking for, that we go back to him with a little less money and say, hey, man, if you're willing to do it, we'd love to have you back. Because he was not like a problem, but like his contract was a problem. But let's throw out in the quarterback room, because for me, this is our biggest hole. Like, I know we've got all these other kind of pieces to fill here and there, but the backup quarterback, I don't like what's out there really in any shape or form. College wise, I don't think that there's going to be anybody that I would be confident just being like, yeah, if he went down, yeah, throw him in, he's ready. Like, so this is a big hole for me, but I'll move on it quickly because two of the guys actually on this are, they're restricted guys, you know, and they're basically guys that you have to wait for the other team to make their move on them. So they're probably not really going to happen. The one has already been re-signed. Today, actually, before I recorded this, Tyler Huntley was one of the guys that I was intrigued by because he stepped in for Lamar. I figured they wouldn't let him go, but they had those exclusive rights free agents on him. You know, they sign him undrafted and then he becomes exclusive. So they get first dibs at him and he was very cheap, right? You know, you're not going to have to pay him a ton, but I like the versatility. He's not going to have the same arm as Josh, but he's got that versatility. We could also utilize him as a guy that takes some of the running plays that we've been giving Josh to save the body a little bit as we move forward. And he's young. He's like 23 years old. I think 24 years old. So I wasn't anticipating we'd have a shot at him. We're not gonna. They re-signed him today. Second guy up is also an exclusive rights guy, and it's Kyle Allen, Washington. I don't really like him. It's not like I'm gonna be like, yeah, I want him. But if there's a guy out there that sneaks free, especially now with this Carson Wentz signing, they might move on from him, right? Or give him an opportunity, basically saying like, you're not gonna make it here, but he's not really going to get an opportunity to be a starter somewhere. So an opportunity like coming to Buffalo, he would be cheap. He was on like a 1 year, $850,000 contract last year. I mean, I think you could get him cheap, but again, exclusive rights. So they could easily just keep him as the backup to Carson and keep trying to develop him. I mean, he's 26 years old. So, but if I had to take a guy, I'd say him. Now, as far as just straight up free agents that we could walk up to right now and say, hey, we want you. The only guy I think I'm honestly would be okay. I mean, there's some guys I'd be okay with, but the one guy that I would say we should approach because of the fall would be a little less would be Mariota. You know, there's the swirling about Carr potentially being moved. So maybe that's to keep Mariota around and let him have a shot at it again. And then you draft a guy and you know, you progress forward or you wait to sign somebody big next year, whatever it may be. But Mariota to me is the one that like he at least can do more of what Josh can do. Out of everybody that's available. He was $3.5 million for the Raiders last year. We paid Mitch like 2.5 last year, somewhere in that range. So I think we could align, right, and make it work. So if there was one guy out there right now that I said, hey, go get him as far as a free agent, I would say he would be the guy. But again, I don't like the situation that we found ourselves in at quarterback. Next, I'm going to hit on running backs. It's not necessarily something that I think we need to really be worried about, because I'm okay with where we're at. I'm curious to see what we do with the line, more than saying that Singletary and Moss can't handle it, but we are losing Breida. You know, Jones is gone. So there's something's going to have to take place. And there's a couple of guys out there that I'm curious about. I got four running backs here that I would say, if we had a shot or we can make a move at them, I would do it. Sony Michel is the first one. He's still got tread on the tires, I think. And we've seen him, he's hurt us, you know, in certain games. He could be a productive player for us. He could be a different style of player for us. You know, Moss has kind of been meant to be kind of the pounder, and it hasn't just really worked out yet. And then we transitioned to Devin like 100% at the end of the year. But Sony would be kind of one of those guys for me that he was cheap for the Rams when they took over. Now he's a free agent. He's a little older. That's the kind of guy I'm looking for at this point. If I'm Brandon Bean, because the running backs make up like 2.5% of the cap. That's super low. If I can get production from that low of a number, I'm going to keep the number down there. We're paying $3-some million right now for both of our running backs. So if we can bring in a guy around another $1.1 million, that's what I'm looking for right now. I'm not looking for a splash, and then we draft a guy or get an undrafted guy and give him a shot. Next guy is Jeff Wilson, San Fran, injured, right? He's definitely got injury. He's got injury concerns for sure, but cheap in what you might catch. Like if you actually happen to get him where he just stays productive, maybe the Bills training staff is that good and they can do something. You know, like, but he's a guy I would look at because he's proven to be successful in the NFL when he's been in a situation to be successful. So that's what I'm looking for. Next guy, probably not really going to happen, and the money would probably be a little more expensive, and I'm not really sure how he fits exactly, but I think it would be nice to have him, and it's James Conner. You know, he came off of a nice season. He's got an opportunity to go out and get paid again by somebody, and I think that may be what he's going to do. Arizona's probably not going to let him get too far, right? But I think he is still going to see what he can get somewhere else, just in case somebody's willing to pay big money. He had a nice year. He played, you know, a good percentage of it. So that's the kind of guy I'm looking for again. But like I said, I think he might be a little too high price for us at this point. But if I could, especially with Singletary coming up next year, and then you've got Moss, who will be and they're cheap. Everybody's cheap in that room, that if he ends up just being good and you think he's got 2-3 more years, then maybe he becomes the guy and he could potentially do it with a few downs off here and there. Alex Collins for me. He's next. He's 27. He played for under $1 million last year. If I had my druthers and one guy that I would take for sure, it would be him. I like the pass blocking. I like he's got some speed, but he can catch the ball. He can take hits. I think he'd just be a nice versatile piece. So if I was getting a running back, it'd be Alex Collins. Next, because I don't want to run forever on this, and I got a lot of guys that kind of want to hit on here. I'm going to hit the wide receivers next, because there's a couple guys that I actually think would be some intriguing pieces that are going to be kind of cheaper, because that's the theme of this. If you haven't caught on yet, I mean, I'm trying to find role players that could be dynamite is what we're trying to pull off right now. So for me, wide receiver room, Cedric Wilson, the Cowboys, there's the Cooper is going to cost a ton if they can't move him. They've got Lamb, who's on a cheap deal. And then they've got, I can't think of his name right now. Why can't I think of his name? Michael Gallup, who they're trying to sign. Right. And he could eventually hit the market as well and get paid because he's available too. So that means Cedric Wilson, played on like 2.1. The market value right now is like pretty high, around 6 million, average, but he's a younger guy. He's 26 years old. He's a little leaner, taller kind of speed. I think that's what I'm looking for in wide receiver for Josh. If we're going to move off of like Beasley and those types of things, then I want a little height. I want to kind of work towards some height and stuff. So Cedric Wilson, next up is DJ Shark. I know the Bills looked at him back in 18. Read a real good piece by Ryan Talbot on, you know, some of these guys that are coming up that the Bills drafted heavily into, or not drafted, but they were digging into heavily during the draft in 18. And DJ Shark's one of those guys. He's coming off the injury. He's been injury prone, but he's young. I mean, you're talking about a 25-year-old kid. So I think there's room to look at him, and you might be able to get him cheap coming off of what he's coming off of. The one guy that I don't think we'll be able to get, especially with the Calvin Ridley news, is I like Russell Gage. If there was some way to bring him in the building, I think that would be a good move. I like him. I think he could fit. I think he could really be a good, nice piece to this puzzle. Didn't cost a lot last year. He had a good season, though, in a more heightened role. So it'll be interesting to see what he gets paid. But for me, he would be one of those guys. Next up is Laquon Treadwell. Hasn't been successful. Would be cheap, but there's something to me about putting him in the room with Diggs and letting them go to work and see what happens, especially if it's on a cheap deal. So for me, Laquon Treadwell would be a guy that I would be approaching. Again, he's got a little more size, just kind of that I'm trying to build something a little bit taller and I want it to be cheap. So he would be somebody else that I approach. Tight ends, I got just a couple guys. One of them, obviously news broke earlier that Evan Ingram is potentially on the Bills radar. And I have him down as one of the guys. He's 27. He hasn't clicked. Hasn't had great quarterback play, but he's had some drop problems. The number that they're estimating him, I'm a little surprised that we're chatting with him. If it's that number, if we can get him down, great. Gerald Everett's the other one, played in a big number last year for Seattle, injured, coming from the Rams. He's still a younger guy in that room, 27. I do like the idea of having another nice tight end piece with Dawson Knox, in case we really saw when Knox went down this last season that the offense really kind of struggled all of a sudden. Like, we didn't really realize that Knox was that important, and then all of a sudden it struggled. So I think having a nice piece behind, not really behind, also probably out there, I think that's why Ingram's being looked at, is because you could run him in the slot, but having depth at the tight end to not have to take that dip like we did last year. Will Dillisley, he's the other guy on the radar, but he's definitely more of a blocking kind of tight end, but I like his value coming from Seattle. There's going to be a little bit of a rebuild happening over there, so maybe he just wants to bail, and he's a nice culture fit kind of piece, I think, as well. Offensive line, there's not really much in the free agent market that I'm like super sold on. That's why I'm kind of still on board with just re-signing a couple of our guys back that I mentioned, like Bates and Bakker. I think we bring them back, maybe draft again. Cody Ford will probably stick around, I think, through this based on his numbers, and we just see where we're at with the new offensive line coach. Defensively, Hassan Reddick, and Kamu Grueger-Hill are two guys for me, defensive end, like outside of linebacker positions, that Those are the guys that I'm looking for, a cheap kind of edge rusher that's productive. And if you put them in a culture of a working system, they're successful. And they both were successful at it last year. Reddick's probably going to be way, way too much money. So realistically for me, I've got Grueger-Hill and then Derek Barnett, true edge, more guy. Grueger-Hill could be kind of more of that, outside linebacker type of role. So those two guys for me are some cheap opportunities that I think the Bills should approach. Reddick, if he was like one of these defensive names that we're hearing about, these high profile defensive players that are like, hey, I want to come play there. If he was one of those guys, he's been productive. So I'd be excited for that. Interior, I got two names written down. I went BJ Hill from Cincinnati. They might bring him back. He had a very nice year there, and he was cheap last year, maybe a little raised with how much success they had. And Christian Covington over at the LA Chargers. Very nice, productive season. Again, just cheaper, blue collar, hardworking. I think if you put them in this role with this team that's built around them, they will be successful. Now, couple linebackers I added, Anthony Walker and DeAndre Campbell. I just, with Klein leaving, right, and Milano's had some injury stuff, Edmonds is potentially gone after next year, even though I do think that somehow he's going to end up being signed to a bigger contract with this team. His youth, I think, is so intriguing to an NFL team that, well, just let him keep going. He's bound to get better and he's bound to get better, but he's so young and he hasn't been really hurt. So but if there's a couple guys that I could add that are kind of special teams level help and cheap, those will be two guys that I would kind of be looking to see if we can make some moves with. I got three cornerbacks written down. Bobby McCain. He was with Washington last year. PJ Williams from New Orleans. And then Weatherspoon from Pittsburgh. All undrafted, UFA guys, so they're unrestricted. We can make moves on them at any time. McCain had a nice season in Washington last year. I think there's a little bit of, you know, you've got that Ron Riviera and the McDermott piece to it and those guys. And I think he had a very nice system that when you're only looking for two and you're talking about a cheaper number with a guy that can excel and exceed like Levi Wallace has, you go that level. PJ Williams, he's 28 as well, the same as Bobby McCain. So their guys are a little older. Maybe we can get them at lower numbers because we're on the fringe, right? They're potentially looking at joining a Super Bowl contender. Right. That's what we have now. That's why everything that I'm talking about and suggesting is it's cheap because we don't need a ton. We should also be in the situation where some of these guys are going to take less. I mean, when's the last offseason that you remember in all of Bill's time that there was reports of free agents reaching out to the team? Like, please, would you want to talk to me? Like, I want to be part of what you're doing. So we need to take that approach. And when we're filling our holes, you know, we need money to pay our draft picks. So when people are talking about trades and bringing on big contracts and stuff, it's like, we still have to pay our draft picks as well. That takes money. So you have to make big moves for this team right now. We'll see some of them, but we'll see what happens with it. The only other two guys I got is kind of safety position, and they're not really necessary. They would just be kind of, maybe we bring them in if the number's right to compete, because Hyde and Poyer are eventually going to have to not be on this team. It will take place at some point or another. So Xavier Woods from Minnesota, there's a lot of churn right now that Minnesota might try to do an overhaul. And if you're coming from a team that's trying to do an overhaul and you don't really want to be part of an overhaul in a team that's winning again, is willing to pay you to come and play there. I think we really have a true opportunity. I mean, this guy's 26 years old. You bring him in, you sign him to a 2-3 year deal too with a third year option. I mean, he's at 29 looking at another deal. So it's a good thing for him and it's a good thing for this team. So somebody like Xavier Woods, and we keep hearing all the, today I've been hearing it everywhere, is like, we're going to trade Edmonds to Pittsburgh. I'm actually looking the other way at it. And his brother, the safety, is an unrestricted free agent. I mean, like, he's going to be pricey, but realistically, like, maybe he would rather play with his brother in Buffalo, and he does that at a lower number. So I'm looking at it the other way. Like, let's bring his brother to Buffalo. I mean, he's 25 years old. He could be the next safety in Buffalo, especially if his brother ends up signing long-term. You keep him on a 2-3 year deal. You're building a very, very tight unit here. So those are all the guys that I kind of have. I think we're going to have a new punter. I didn't really dive into who's available. I saw today that others talked to Dallas's Pro Bowl punter. They're not going to bring him back. So, I mean, there might be some guys available, but I'm thinking the only other move you really make at this point is you put some faith in a rookie punter. You know, and you go out and you find him. I mean, you've got Bass now, who's a couple of years in. He's young. I would anticipate he's going to be the guy for the future. So maybe you find that punter, and then you just you build your long term special teams unit. Minus, you know, Reed Ferguson. He's been around for a while, and he should be able to stick around for much longer. But you know, eventually we'll have to move on there. But as we go through this, and we should start seeing the restructuring, because we do need money to at least sign draft picks. We have to remember that. So there is going to be some movement still coming. I would anticipate as we're moving towards the free agency period. But these are kind of my guys and the type of guys that I'm looking for, I would say, at this point in time. I want to try different pieces, right? My holes are not big. So if I can get a younger, cheaper version, or a younger, maybe elevated version that seems to be rising right now and just needs to be in a right situation to have a great team around him, and they'll truly excel. That's where I'm at with this roster. I don't know that a big splash is going to do it for me. I don't want to be the Rams. We've watched the New England Patriots do it to us for 17 years. They never, hardly ever made big, huge splashes. They barely spent money in free agency. They built a winner and they let people come to them and play at lower numbers and continue to win. That's what the Buffalo Bills should be. So I think Bean and McDermott like that style and they want to roll that way. And that's what we're going to see. I'm not going to be 100% completely stunned if something crazy doesn't pop off. Right? Like I mentioned, we got draft capital to move. I would almost in this draft take our one and I would take our probably 3, 4, 5 and everything past that and potentially just move it and try to come up back up into the second round and maybe draft 3, 4 guys in the front end of this draft and then just go after some undrafted guys and see what happens because we lost 2 guys off of our team last year that we drafted. So it's going to be tough. But all right, that's going to do it for the free agency focus this week of just kind of some guys that I'm looking at, what I think we might see happen. A couple of these names we've already been linked to. Couple guys are already gone, unfortunately, I think, and maybe we're never even in the realm of possibility. But it was more about what I think is supposed to take place this offseason. And there's still more to come, of course. But as we're moving forward, we're just going to keep continuing down the road and see what happens in the free agency market as things start heating up. We hit the tamper period, and then we'll start looking at the draft and seeing what we think is going to really take place because I think a lot of people are going to be surprised and not really surprised because of just how consistent we've been. But that's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks again, everybody, for showing up and listening, watching, whatever you may be doing. Make sure that you guys head over to bethematch.org and check out what they are up to over there. A very cool organization. If you can help out, please do so or pass that information along. Make sure you guys are heading over to Buffalo Lowdown. Brandon's been pumping out a lot of good stuff over there. I like, he's got a good opinion. He's not crazy about a lot of the stuff he talks about and he highlights a lot during the off season. So make sure you guys are heading over there, checking that out. Of course, the Buffalo Nerd is obviously the podcast for that specific page. So if you head over there, you can check out the newest episode while you're there as well. But also make sure you guys are following along on all the social channels. We got the TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're there. Hit us up. We're getting busy over the off season here, getting ready for another great season there in Buffalo. But you guys can find me over at thebuffalonerd.com. And of course, go Bills.
You just listen to the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast. Make sure you leave a review and subscribe so you never miss another episode. We'll see you next time. Leg out.